It's preaching time. The choir has lifted up songs of Zion. God said, I'll inhabit the praise of my people. Mother Nelson has lifted us in prayer. God says, the effectual fervency of prayer availeth much. The dancers have danced. And now we are ready to hear what the Lord has to say through the Reverend Lillian Gale Moore. Reverend Moore, again, needs no formal introduction, but I would be remiss if I did not say that she is the eminent pastor of the Macedonia Baptist Church, located in Newtown, Pennsylvania. I would be remiss if I did not say that, although a native of High Point, Mississippi, that her roots are deeply entrenched here in the city of Trenton, where she matriculated through the formal public education system. I'd be remiss if I didn't say she has earned degrees from Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina, as well as Master's of Divinity degree at the New Brunswick Theological Seminary. And I would be remiss if I did not say that the Reverend Gale Moore served faithfully at this branch of Zion for over 12 years as an associate minister. We are grateful for her leadership at the Macedonia Baptist Church in Newtown, where the church has seen unprecedented growth under her leadership and has continued to be both an active participant in the Newtown, Greater Langhorne, Yardley, Bucks County community, but also a powerful spiritual house of worship and under her anointed preaching. So Reverend Moore is well loved here. For those of you who are visitors, you will hear certainly a great and anointed woman of God. And those of you who are members of this house of worship know that Reverend Moore stands in John's shoes and speaks with the prophetic power of Deborah. And we're grateful for her faithfulness in ministry, for her friendship in pastoring, as well as her leadership in this greater Bucks County, Mercer County community. So without further ado, I would like for you to stretch your hands with me and state, Lord, bless me and bless us through your servant, Pastor Moore. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's give God a praise offering. The next voice you will hear will be that of the pastor of the Macedonia Baptist Church, a place of refuge in Christ, the Reverend Lillian Gale Moore.
God bless you, saints. I was sitting and thinking, why am I always nervous when I come home? I believe it's because the angel of this church, Reverend Armstrong, has set a standard. Amen? And we know that we have a standard to live up to in the Lord. Amen? I certainly thank him for inviting me back to Shiloh. I certainly acknowledge all of those that are in leadership, whether you are deacon, deaconess, trustee, whether you are in the ministry of any kind here at Shiloh, and just all my sisters and brothers in Christ. Amen. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord one more time with the children of the Most High God. Amen. 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 Usually I bring more than one person with me, but we have a lot to do today. We only have two deacons. One is here. The other one is at home making sure that things run right there. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I just thank God for sisters and brothers in Christ who can do the work of ministry. Amen? And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. Doing the work of ministry. Amen? I want to, before I get into this, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, I want you to know while you're doing that, I do kind of keep up with what's going on at Shiloh. Not everything. The angel of this church, when he texts you, I get a text. Amen. 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 It's nice to keep family relationships. Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Acts 28. Acts 28, verses 1 through 10. And if I hurry along, please don't be angry with me. Our service starts at 10, and while I have a little leeway, I like for them not to be nervous and know that I will be present. Amen. Amen. Acts 28, verses 1 through 10, reads like this. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta.
All right, preacher.
And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came and because of the heat fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from the hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom thou he has escaped the sea, and justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lies sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when he was done, the rest of those on the islands who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. I ask, Father God, that as your spirit abide in this place, so, Lord, we ask that you abide in me. Reveal, Father God, the things to your servants that you have revealed to me in such a way, Father God, that they are encouraged from not only this day, but the further days of their lives. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you from the subject, Beyond the Shipwreck.
All right.
Beyond the Shipwreck. This story is about a man who worked in ministry for a mighty long time. He has written at least 13 books of our Bible. But can I tell you something? Just because we work in ministry, it does not mean that tragedy does not come into our lives. We are often under the impression that, God, if I work for you, I know everything will be all right with me. But that is not necessarily so. We have some ups in our lives and some downs in our lives. I don't care how much we love the Lord. There is this adversary out there who is always against us and seeking to destroy us at every moment in time. Would you learn that? If we learn that, then when shipwrecks enter into our lives, we would know and be assured that everything is going to be all right. When God's got something for us, understand what I'm saying. When God has appointed some times in our lives, until those things are fulfilled, I don't care how many shipwrecks come and go, we're going to be all right until we meet our appointments. Can I go there with you? If you were to read 2 Corinthians, and go to that 11th chapter, verses 22 through 27. Paul makes a testimony. Can I give it to you? Paul says, I've been beaten over 5 times with a rod. I would have gotten 40 stripes, but they always gave me less one. So I would be beaten with a rod 39 times. Now 5 times 39, you count. Trials happened to me, not only from the Gentiles, but from the Romans too. You do know I'm a Roman citizen, don't you? But my own Jewish folk would come upon me with unnecessary stuff. Lord, I met you on Damascus Road, and I thought that when I worked for you, everything would be all right. But when I was the hunter, I became the hunted. Everything is not all right. But can I go there? Shipwreck.
Good word.
History says that Paul got arrested. Yeah. I want y'all seniors to know I'm glad to be a senior. I'm a grandmother too. He got arrested. Felix heard his defense. Felix said, I'm not so sure I want to deal with this. And he appointed Julius, a centurion, to watch over Paul. And to make sure that things were all right with Paul. Paul, if wherever he goes, if he wants to fraternize with his friends in ministry, that's okay. Just take care of Paul. But then Felix goes out and Festus comes in. And now Festus hears the testimony, but he doesn't do anything about it either. And what he does is he invites King Agrippa and Bernice in with him. And then they don't do anything about it. Matter of fact, they go into a discussion, and that's to come back to Paul, and they say, Paul, if you had not asked that Caesar come into the thing, if you had not appealed to Caesar, we would have let you go. But since you appealed to Caesar, now you got to go talk to Caesar. So they get in the ship, Julius, the centurion, who's watching over Paul. And listen, it's nice to have favor in your life. Can I tell you something, saints? I don't care what adversity comes in our lives. God's got some people in our lives that gives us favor. Amen. And will take care of us in season and out of season. And Julius was one of those centurions. And he gets on the ship with other prisoners, and they began to sail toward Italy. He makes some stops along the way. Paul cleans up, fraternizes with some of his friends, get back on the ship, but trouble arises. Isn't that the way our lives are sometimes? Things seem to be going pretty good in our lives. I said during my 60th birthday party, it's the happiest time of my life. But every once in a while, the waves begin to blow. the winds began to blow and the waves began to beat up against the ship in my life. I think about them traveling along the way, Deacon, but every once in a while we are traveling along the way and the waves get so heavy in our lives and beat up against our lives, the very thing that holds us, the ship of our lives, whatever that is, begins to burn and break apart, and we began to unload the cargo of the ship. You do know we have cargo that we don't need in our lives. You do know that there are some times that we need to throw out some things in our lives. There are some people in our lives that mean us no good, and we're carrying them in our ship when we need to unload in order to survive.
My God.
They began to unload the ship.
My God, my God.
But as the ship is breaking, water is coming in the ship. And now they are afraid because they are not strong enough to fight against the winds. They've let the sails down. Because the sails would carry them to and fro where they don't want to go. But and they keep throwing out the water that's now in the ship. But they're tired now. You've ever been that way? That so much trouble is in your life and tired now? Maybe you didn't eat as much as you should have ate on the way. Hey, these folks have been on a fast. And see, when they're on a fast like that, you're weak. But they kept working because they wanted to survive the adversity of their lives. How many of you are willing to keep working so that you can survive the adversity of your life? Huh? It's something about wanting to survive that will pump that adrenaline through you, and you can keep going when you thought you couldn't keep going. Huh?
My God.
I gotta go now.
My God.
But Paul says to them,
yeah,
you gotta take a moment and feed yourself. Can I tell you something? In life, you gotta take a moment and feed yourself. I don't care what's going on in your life. This is the bread of life. And every once in a while, you got to pick up the scriptures and feed yourself. Without the scriptures, you are going to not only be weak, but you are going to die. You are going to be overcome.
My God, my God. Great word.
He took bread. He blessed it.
Great word.
He broke it. And he handed it out. Do you know what it is to have a life full of adversity? And somebody is telling you to take enough time to eat.
My God.
Then go back to work. And have a will to survive.
My.
Beyond the ship, they're fighting and they're struggling. Mm-hmm. It's nighttime now. Can I go there? There's a lot of stuff I cut out, but I gotta go. Yes. It's nighttime. It's nighttime. And they're just waiting for daylight. We wait for some daylight in our lives. We get tired of night seems long and drawn out. Maybe you take a moment to sleep and you wake up and realize that only an hour has passed and it's still nighttime. Have you ever been there? I've been there.
Yeah, for sure. My God. My God.
Finally, daylight comes. And they realize there's some land over there. There's some safety over there.
Yeah.
If I can just get there. But through the night, Paul was praying. Read and pray. Paul was praying when an angel came to him and said, Paul, you haven't met Caesar yet.
My God. Huh?
You know you have an appointment with Caesar. And the appointment has not been met. Can I go there? There are some Caesars in your lives. And the appointment has not been met. Stop being fretful. God's got this.
My mind.
You're not going to die, Paul. Not only you won't die, but the other 275 men with you are not going to die. All 276 of you will be all right. When you have a relationship with God and he sends you a message. Listen, every angel don't look like a spirit. Some angels look like me and you. Yeah, there are some angels who will enter into our lives and say, I know you want to give up, but don't give up. God's got a plan for you. You see, angel, I remember when in 1983 I was called into ministry. But by 1984, I had made the largest mistake of my life. I called some folk and said, I want out of ministry. I'm not going to do it because it would be an embarrassment to God. And I don't want to embarrass God. I can't do this now. There are some other young women who are coming up in ministry. And I'm not trying to hurt them. I made up my mind that the shipwreck of my life had just destroyed me.
My God.
Can I go there? But there was this woman in the ministry. Senior woman. Senior woman. You see, you are there for a purpose. Huh? And you can feed into young folk what no other persons can give. You had shipwrecks in your lives and you've learned how to survive the shipwrecks. Me being a young woman didn't know how to survive the shipwreck and I just wanted out.
Yeah.
Called one woman, she said, okay, you out. Called another woman, she said, I see the calling on your life. We will walk this journey together. That's what people with experience will do. They will know that young folk make mistakes in their lives, but they see God's anointing on their lives and they're willing to nurture that anointing.
My God.
And then to confirm, another scene. My mother in the ministry, who told me to stay, her son came to visit from California. He stayed in my house, and this particular morning, he said, Gail, let's get up and go see Reverend Hughes, another senior. I didn't want to tell him what was going on with me, but I kept trying not to look him out of eye because he would have seen the tears in my eyes. He would have seen that I had been beaten beyond godly recognition. We went over to this woman's house. I turned my back to them. I did not want to be in the conversation. But when God's in it, things will draw you in.
My God.
The woman said, every night this week, God has been getting me up. He had me lay prostrate, but he wouldn't tell me what to pray. She said, do you know how annoying it is to get up every night? God won't let you sleep. I'm listening, but I'm not looking because I still don't want them to see the tears in my eyes. And she said, but last night, God said, tell my ministers, I put them in ministry.
All right.
And that they do not get out of ministry unless I tell them to get out of ministry. Oh, the shipwreck of my life have been overcome. I'll let you know something. My shipwreck is 28 years old now, and I'm glad to have her with me. I tell folk,
my God,
I'm glad I messed up early during ministry. So I can stand tall in the Lord now. But you know what else it makes me? It helps me to understand those who are young and still a little shaken. They really do love the Lord. We too easily cast folk aside. We got to stop casting folk aside. And we've got to walk with them and encourage them to be strong in the Lord. Now I'm in ministry. Doing pretty good. Like Paul. He reaches the island of Malta. The people on the island are just great. But it's raining outside and it's cold. It's about this time of the year. So they made a fire and Paul went to get wood for the fire. And when he threw it on there, a viper attached itself to his hands. You ever get those? Those folks in life who will inject to you their poison? Huh? You better be like Paul and learn to shake them loose. When folk tell you you can't achieve, shake them loose. When folk tell you this is the end of your time, shake them loose. When folk tell you that God don't love you, shake them loose. Beyond the shipwreck, there's something going on. And then there's those folks.
My God.
When you didn't die, they were surprised. Can I go there? When you were overcome with the adversities of your life, they were surprised. They keep waiting for you to die.
My God.
And then when they see you didn't, they get a little superstitious and call you a God. No, I'm not a God. I am the child of God. My brother is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know. Beyond the shipwreck, there is something for you.
My God, great word.
Sometimes it's not just to see Caesar. But there will be some publicists of your life. That's the citizen of Malta who had it all. Paul went and stayed in his house 3 days, the scripture says. But Paul found sickness in the house. His father was sick. You don't understand what I'm talking about, do you? Beyond the shipwreck, you gotta bless somebody else. When God makes sure that you survive, you got to bless somebody else. You got to lay hands on and the sick will be healed. You got to cast out demons beyond the shipwreck. If you have survived, you have survived not for yourself, you have survived for somebody else.
You better preach.
beyond the shipwreck.
Great word.
It's really not about you. It's about being a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
Son, folks ask me, why do you do what you do? Somebody bless me. And I've got to return the favor. She's dead now. Both of those women are dead now. But in their honor, I stand. In the honor of the Lord, I stand. In the honor of the Lord, I keep giving the message. In the honor of the Lord, I bless the sick.
Preacher. Yeah.
In Macedonia.
Oh my God.
I'm standing in the pulpit. In Macedonia, folks that should have been dead are still here. Because we are teaching the people fasting and prayer is a part of our spiritual living. Beyond the shipwreck. Can I tell you that final person? Jesus. Move beyond the shipwreck. Huh? He knew what it was to be despised and rejected. But while he was on the cross, it looked like the ship was falling apart. Everything that he came for almost looked like it was over. But the Bible says that he died and he was buried. But on the third day, he rose with all power in his hand. He had overcome the shipwreck of his life. And then he blessed somebody else. He blessed me. He blessed you. Now we have life and we have it more abundantly. Beyond the shipwreck.
My